Wow, that was really good, wasn't it? I almost wanted to sing it again just because I liked it so well. Well, I get to speak now, and I'm so excited about it. And I love hearing Faith Reynolds speak, don't you? She just gets in my face, so I don't really like that part of it. But I do like it, that what she says and how she says it, everything about it. I want to start out by telling Hopewell Baptist Church, wow. These decorations, are they something? How they come up with it, and all the little details of the white clouds and the blackbirds, and I mean, they just really went all out in the big maps in the back. And did you all notice these things moving during that storm? I'm telling you, they don't fool around here, do they? And I appreciate it, because that's all a part what makes the spirit of this meeting. Can you feel the spirit of it? And I really liked all those men coming in here. Did you all like that? I hope them pirates come back tomorrow night. Are they? I don't know if they're supposed to, but I hope they do. Sail on. Turn back. Sail on. I have been on the turn back side of life, too, though. I do admit that. But this has been a great opening night, and thank you so much for being here. Now, I'd like to start out by having you bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm going to have a word of prayer for this session right now. But before I pray, I'd like to ask you one question. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, who'd say to me, Loretta, I have been abused emotionally, mentally, physically, sexually, or in some way, sometime in my life? I'd just like you to raise your hand, just real little. You don't have to make a big deal of it. But if you have had one of those kind of abuses, I'd like to see you raise your hand. Anybody like that? Okay, put your hands down. Father, you saw the hands. You know why I'm speaking on this now, Lord. And I pray that you'll bless this talk. May it be an eye-opener for somebody, just what they need. Please help me, Father. I need you so badly. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Now, I've asked Paul if he'd turn the lights down for me for a few minutes. This is talking about discovering, and this talk talks about sea scars. I have sea scars. I've got a lot of scars, Miss Verna. I've got things in my past that I don't appreciate, I wish didn't happen. I've hinted a lot, but never said some of the things I'm going to say publicly that I'm going to say tonight. Miss Connie, I told her tonight that she inspired me last year at this meeting when she told so much of her testimony. I thought it was enlightening for us to see somebody that went through what she went through and has overcome so much. When I grew up in West Virginia, and I came from a very alcoholic family. Now, some of you out there, you understand what an alcoholic family is. It means you never know who was going to come home drunk, what they were going to say when they were drunk, what they're going to do when they're drunk, all the bad things that was happening. I try not to delve too intricately about the abuses that I had as a child, but I will say this, and I say this gently, that I knew about sex at the age of 5. 5-year-olds can't really understand it, but that's just use your imagination for that. I was abused sexually again, and as a junior age girl, when I was 7 years old, my dad moved out of our house. It was not a nice move out. My mom's more like the granny on the Beverly Hillbillies. Do you know what I mean? Like one time I remember they had a bad fight and she conked him in the head with a black iron skillet. He went to the grave with that scar on his head. You know, we were not nice people. You know what I'm saying? When you look at me and see how forceful I am, it comes from the fam. It's the genes. But anyway, so when I was 7 years old, he moved out of the home. And when he moved out a few days later, I was sleeping up in the second floor of our house, and it was a peaked roof, and my older sister, a teenage sister, was sleeping in the same section of the house, and my mom was down on the first floor, and we kept elderly folks in our house. That's how my mom made a living. And a fire started on the back side of our house. Somebody took coal oil out of the thing that's in the back and just poured it all along the back and then lit a match. And so it was fat, it was burning. And my mom was so excited about trying to get the old folks out. My teenage sister helped get the old folks out. And then I was left up in there. They didn't remember me. Can you imagine not remembering this little cute redheaded girl? But anyway, so I remember as a little 7-year-old walking up to the front window of the house, peaked roof. And you know, in those old houses, the window was stuck shut. There was no way to open it. And I just was going like this because I knew I saw the fire trucks and the firemen with the hoses and all that. And all of a sudden my mom saw me through the window and she sent the fireman in and he came down to the steps. And I remember jumping into his arms. It was exciting. Except for the fact I was sick the rest of the night from smoke inhalation. I know some of you that have been through fires, you understand that. And we really believe my father set the fire because he was so mad at my mom. Never was able to prove it, but we never got any insurance money because there was a doubt about it. For 3 years after that, we just lived in poverty because we lived with people, you know, from place to place to place, different schools for 3 years. It was a really hard, hard time. You remember all those old folks that we had living in the house? Well, a lot of them were men. Old, dirty men. Do you know what I mean by that, ladies? As a teenage girl, I remember so many times those old men trying to touch me in places they shouldn't touch me. I remember one time I stand on it. We had a porch, about this big of a porch, and this old man named Ralph grabbed me where he shouldn't grab me. And I punched him as hard as I could punch him. Yeah, you were right. I felt really good about it, and I like telling it right now. But then he was going to fall off the porch, and I knew my mom would get mad at me, so I had to grab him and save him. Oh, that was hard on me, you know. But all this time, okay, I've told you a few of these things. The reason why I told you is not for you to feel sorry for me. I want you to know where it came from. You know, I want you to understand that I came from a very troubled background. And all the while, I remember even as a teenager, I started drugs and alcohol and all the things, trying to find some peace. I was searching, Miss Verna. I wanted peace. I wanted happiness. I wanted joy, and we didn't have it in our home. It was terrible. You know, remember my mom, one of the things that she told me as a young girl, she said, "Loretta, I've got to have men." And I thought, I don't. And we all slept in the same room because all the old people were in the bedrooms. Can I just tell you, I've lived a terrible life. I have terrible memories. But you know what? As I was searching, I remember as a teenage girl, I was very, very drunk. Looked out this window and I said, "God, if you're anywhere out there," and I didn't know about God. I'd heard of him. I'd heard about Jesus. I'd been to a vacation Bible school one time at a Methodist church. I remember that. But I never had a relationship with God. And so I looked out the window and I said, "If you're out there, could you just show me how to find peace?" That was when I was about 15 years old. A few months later, I was out with a group of my friends, and we were just running the roads, you know, driving around. And one of my friends, I said to him, "Have you ever thought about heaven?" And they said, "Sure, my uncle told me that there's a way to go to heaven." And I said, "I'd sure like to know how to do that." I remember saying that to that friend as we were just running the roads as a teenager. All the while, I was searching for truth. I wanted peace and happiness. So that was probably when I was between 15 and 17. When I turned 17, my niece started going to this Baptist church in Martinsburg, West Virginia. She rode on a bus. And every Friday night, some of my brothers and sisters we'd get together and we'd play poker. It was penny ante poker. And we'd sit around and play. And then, my niece said, "I'd like y'all to come to church with me to be my guest so that I could win this contest to go to this amusement park near here. And so would you come be my guest?" And of course, I'd heard about that church. Any of y'all like that? You heard about the church before you went to there? You know, they preached against rock music and you couldn't do this. And they had people had told me all the things that they thought was wrong. And I thought, that sounds like fun. I don't want to go to that church, you know. They would take away all my fun. Well, I said, no, not me. I'm not going to go. My mom said, you're going to go. I said, I am. And she said, yes, you are going to go. And I said, I guess I'm going, because my mom, remember Granny on the Beverly Hillbillies? You didn't cross her. So we did go to church that Sunday, and we went that Sunday and every Sunday morning for the next 3 months. Now, Miss Verna, this is a very aggressive soul-winning church, but nobody came to my house to witness to me. I guess I think if I had to guess why, I probably looked very scary. You know what I mean? Back in the 70s, you wore these very tall shoes, very mini skirts. I looked good in mini skirts back then. Now it would look very gross. I'm happy to wear long dresses now. You'll be happy I wore long dresses now. But anyway, so I think we looked, the whole family came in right before the church started. We didn't greet people, talk to people. We just came right in, sat in the back pew. And my brother looked like a mountain man. You know, he came too. My niece got my brother and his wife to come. I think we looked scary. So nobody came and knocked on our door. Every Sunday morning, I heard the invitation. And I remember I'd been searching. I wanted to discover the truth of how to go to heaven. But nobody told me how, and it wasn't clear what I was supposed to do, and so I didn't do anything about it for 3 whole months. That I went the first time on an Easter Sunday, and then in July, they announced they were going to show a film called The Burning Hell. Now, how many of you have ever seen The Burning Hell? A few of you. People say it's funny, but I didn't laugh. When I watched it, I was so scared of going to hell. You know, all this time, Miss Verna, I've been joking. Oh, when I go to hell, I'm going to go down there and party, and we're going to have a good time. And if you're sitting in here, and you don't have that peace in your heart and know for sure you're going to go to heaven when you die, can I tell you, you ought to be fearful of hell. You ought to realize it's horrible. That's what that film did for me. It showed me the truth of what hell was really going to be like. It's a place of where the worm dieth not, where there's darkness, but yet there's flame. You say, how can that be? Because there is a hot enough fire that is black flame. So anyway, so when they announced they were going to show that film, The Burning Hell, I said to Mom, I'm going to go watch that film. I've always been curious. I've joked around about hell. I'd like to really know what it's like. And she said, okay, I'll go with you. It was a Sunday night. Now, if you think you feel weird going into a Baptist church on a Sunday morning, you feel even weirder on a Sunday night. So we came in at the last minute, sat in the same old back pew in that church. And about halfway through The Burning Hell, Loretta Haynes closed her eyes and said, God, I don't know what I need to do to be able to keep from going to that place, but whatever it is, I want to do it. And I closed my eyes and I didn't watch the rest of it. And then as soon as the preacher said, if you want to come find out how to go to heaven when you die, man, I was out of my seat and down the row, and praise God, I got saved. Yes, you ought to clap prayers. That's a wonderful thing. Can you turn the lights up now, Brother Paul? See, I'd been searching all that time for truth, for joy, for happiness, for all the things that I didn't have growing up. I tried to find it in drugs, tried to find it in alcohol, tried to find it in wrong relationships. It didn't happen. And so I want to say to you tonight, I have 3 things that I think would help you to find that joy and happiness. Some of you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, but you didn't go another step. You only got your ticket to heaven. There's another thing that I think will help you, and that's what I'd like to talk to you tonight about. I believe that the whole solution is your awareness of God, AOG, having an awareness of God. In Judges chapter 6, Gideon was hiding for fear of the enemy, and God called him out. In Judges 6:12, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. He said, God's with you. So if you have God with you, you can have strength, and you can have joy, and you can have peace to know, hey, I can do this. An awareness of God will do that for you. In Luke chapter 1, Mary is greeted by the angel to tell her the glad news of her being the mother of Jesus. And one of the things we see in Luke 1:28, the angel said, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Do you know God's with you tonight, ladies? You know, He is special. He wants to be with you all the time. He wants you to be aware of His presence all the time. In Joshua chapter 1, we find the passing of the baton from Moses to Joshua. He was the follower of Moses. In Numbers 11:28, Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men. The Bible called Joshua one of Moses' young men. He was like this little follower, always around, always trying to learn. Well, one of the things that I think gave Joshua great peace and joy in being the leader was Joshua 1:4. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. See, God, when I asked Jesus to come in my heart, the Holy Spirit came and lived within me. But God's presence has always been with me too. But I've not always been aware of it. See, you got to know. I've talked to God probably 100 times today as I've walked through my life. I've talked to Him. And some of you aren't aware of God's presence always with you. You know, I've told you about my dad and my mom. And they weren't the ideal parents. They didn't mentor me. They didn't coddle me. They didn't comfort me. I don't remember my dad taking me in his arms. I don't remember my mom telling me she loved me that much. Maybe once in a while, you know. But, boy, I have a Heavenly Father. I've got God the Father who has, He has been everything to me. Since that day on July the 5th, 1975, when I came down to that old altar and I accepted Christ as my Savior, God became very real to me. It was a process of time, though, where I really started being more aware of Him with me all the time. Psalm 94, 17 and 18. Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. Psalm 118, verse 13. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. Isaiah 41, 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. He's with you. Whatever trouble, whatever background you have, if God's with you, He can change you. The awareness of Him in my life has changed my life. Psalm 91:15, He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Psalm 23:4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So, Jeremiah 42:11, be not afraid of the king of Babylon, whom ye are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you to save you and deliver you from his hand. Wow, let me explain something to you. Jesus also said he will be with us. So not only do we have God the Father, we have God the Son. Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, my father-in-law didn't like airplanes. And he said, this verse here said that Jesus was never with you when you're up in the airplanes. It was only, lo, I am with you. But anyway, you got to go deep. You got to dig really deep to get that, ladies. But anyway, then, of course, Hebrews 13:5, for he has said, I will never leave thee. Look, put your hand up like this. Jesus will never leave me. He's always with you. He saw you today. He saw the fit that you threw before you left the house. Don't you do that? No, he saw it all, right? Just like you said, Miss Faith. So I have 3 things that I'd like to encourage you to do if you want to have an AOG, if you want to have a new awareness of God. 3 things that you can do for the next 90 days. It'll change your life. If you take this challenge, I promise you, it'll make a difference in your life. What I want to do is, I'm tired of women saying, I'm just that way. You know, I can't help it. You know, I have a lot of meanness in me. You know, I'm looking forward to getting old. I told my daughter recently, if I'm one of those mean old women, just put me in a nursing home. Don't try to change me. You know, I know you're not going to beat me up or anything, but because you probably couldn't. But just put me in a nursing home because if I'm unreasonable, you know, because I know that's there's a side of me that's really mean. Remember I told you about the switchblade last year? But I've got to be nice because it's right to be nice. And when I have an awareness of God and realize He's with me all the time, what if we had instant replay cameras everywhere? Do you realize God sees us? Now, I'm living with an old man. You know what I mean by that? I turned 65 in October. I know, you're shocked. I've been coming here 31 years. This is 32, right? This is 32nd ladies' meetings y'all have. 31 years. 65 minus 31, what is that? 34. I was 34 years old when I first came here. I mean, you've watched me grow old. I have earned every one of these little wrinkles that are all over my face. Can I tell you this? So I'm 65. I turned 65, but my husband turned 60 in September. It was his birthday. I was so thrilled it was his birthday and that he was turning 60. You know what I did to him? The first present I gave him was an AARP card. Faith, I handed him this AARP. The only thing that ruined it, he didn't even know what it was. I had to explain it to him. So, what I'm trying to do is let's erase our excuses for why we are the way we are. All of you, some of you have a worse background than I do. I can see that. That might be true. But can I tell you this? You still have the same God I have. And if you gain an awareness of God, like I'm going to teach you how to have it, I believe it'll change your life. It's changed my life. I can't live with myself when I'm mean and ornery and when I think the wrong thoughts and all that thought. Okay, number one, 90-day challenge. Three suggestions I want you to do for the next 90 days. Number one, be a one-day-at-a-time Christian. Jesus set the tone in Matthew 6:11. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, he said every day. See, some of us, because we grew up in such unstable environments, we want to be control freaks. We want to plan what's going to happen. We want to make sure it happens just like this, and it's got to be this way or the highway. Listen, if you are a woman that runs your home, can I tell you, you're ruining your children? It's going to hurt them because it's not God's plan. If you have a man in your life, you help him be strong enough to lead by sitting back and being quiet. You know, that's exactly what you're supposed to do. Boy, is it hard. It's very hard, especially when we have so many women that are being too strong. You know, I can be too strong. I'm thankful I married a man that says to me, now, Loretta, I'm in charge. And I want to say, I wish you weren't. I don't say that out loud, but I think it a lot. You know, I didn't grow up in the right philosophies, but I fight them because I want to have this awareness of God and him being around all the time and watching me and knowing what I'm doing. And I want to be pleasing him with my life. The Bible said a one day at a time Christian is aware of God all the time and he's in charge all the time. He's the one that helps you get your seat. He's the one that helps you find your keys. When you walk into the church, sometime if somebody looks at you the wrong way, you could say, God, she looked at me like that. Is she upset with me or am I just imagining it? You know, if you were really asking God all the things that happen that hurt your feelings and make you feel sad and make you feel wonder about life, you know, it's never God's will for you to leave that church. So if you leave the church because your feelings were hurt about something, who instigated that? Your own problems because you don't have awareness of God. God wants you to stay in your church. He doesn't want you to be upset with your fellow Christians. You know, and we can misinterpret each other very easily. People can pop our balloons. But are we supposed to let it offend us? If we have an awareness of God, we won't. Some people I know that grew up in my kind of a family, they can be in a church and feel alone with a room full of people. Is that because the church doesn't care about you? Or is that because you feel alone? Ask God to help you. I ask God for all, show me this, God. Help me to know how to do this. Help me to say this right. Make me feel this way. You know, just fix me. I want him. And you know what? We ask not because we have not because we ask not. Don't you think your Heavenly Father wants to fix these things in your lives? Don't you think he wants you to be whole and peaceful and joyful? He does. And he can do it for you. So the first thing is be a one day at a time Christian. Now, see what I passed out some, you're going to pass them out. Oh, wonderful. Okay, can you pass them out now? Wonderful. I thought you already passed them out. The usherettes have these strings. You remember way back when they used to tie a string around their finger to remind me? Remind me that God's around here. Some of you that really, you're very self-sufficient. You know, I grew up pretty self-sufficient. Tie a string around your finger to remind you, hey, God's here. I got to be careful. I got to watch my attitude. I got to ask him if I can do this. I got to ask him if I can be a one day at a time Christian by putting that string around your finger to remind you that God is with you all the time. Be aware of God in a bigger way than you ever have in your life. Number two, part of being aware of God person is be a flexible Christian. Let me tell you, I cannot be in control of everything. I want to be in control, but I can't be in control. Psalm 48:14 says, "For this God is our God forever and ever, and he will guide even unto death." He will be our guide even unto death. Psalm 37:23, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." You know, can you believe that being delayed on a trip could be part of God's plan? Any of y'all delayed today in your trip here? Anybody have some problems? Maybe even somebody was late that made you delayed. And everybody got mad because that person was... Can I tell you that delay sometimes part of God's plan? We were in at Bruce Goddard's church in Southern California. We were trying to get to Long Beach because, you know, Long Beach traffic is true. It's terrible. And when you're in three big rigs, it's really hard. When we're in heavy traffic in those three big rigs, people try to jut in front of us. And they think we can stop on a dime, but we can't. So, anyway, heavy traffic's not what we want to be in when we're in these big rigs. So, we pulled out of Brother Goddard's church at about 11 o'clock, trying to get to Long Beach before, it was only two-hour trip, before we got into Long Beach traffic, which we thought the traffic got bad around 3 o'clock. Well, we got to the exit of the interstate, and a hose came off of one of the rigs. We pulled off, all three of us pulled off on the side of the road, and we sat there for about 3 or 4 hours. We ended up getting to Long Beach at 6 p.m., which is probably the peak of bad traffic. Now, as I was sitting on the side of the road, I said, God, was this delay part of your plan? If it was, help me to accept it. And then I started depending on him to fix it. Can you help cars not to try to jut in front of us? You know, one of the things is I try to ride in the second lane so that you people that don't want to miss your exits don't cut in front of us in this other lane. Oh, it's so scary. You know, you just try to trust him to fix whatever it is that has foiled your plans. Now, I'm talking foiled your plans, being flexible. Some of you had these great dreams of what life was going to be for you, and it hasn't come to fruition, right? You've got people in your life that have problems, and you, other than killing them, you just got to live with it, right? But it's hard. Some of you are living in hard situations. I understand that. But you can't ask, and I don't ask God to take those things away. I ask him to give me strength to endure. Yeah, that's what you need. God, this is part of your plan for my life. I'm going to accept it. Will you give me strength to be able to make it through this? So, number one, be a one day at a time Christian. Go step by step. Trust him on a daily basis to lead you and guide you. Number two, be a flexible Christian. During Christmas time, I don't know about you, but I'm such a big planner. And we were building something, and I was supposed to do a bunch of painting. So I had it all planned out. I was going to mail out the magazine on Thursday, and that Wednesday I was going to go paint. And then I would go to do the first coat in the morning and the second coat in the afternoon. Are y'all like me? You plan it all out and this is going to work out just perfect. Wednesday morning I got up there and I went up to do the painting, and Kevin said to me, "There's too many men already in here doing things, you can't paint." It starts in my toes. I didn't feel like a flexible Christian. Because the next day I'd already planned out what I was going to do, and the day after that, and the day after that. But I said, this is what I'm talking about. Awareness of God. I said, God, and I didn't say this in front of Kevin. I don't talk to myself in front of Kevin because he thinks I'm weird. So I said, God, it must be that I'm not supposed to paint this morning. This thing seems so trivial, doesn't it? But if you were to talk to God about every little thing that goes wrong, it would change your attitude. It'd change your whole perspective. It'd make you feel like it's okay. Whatever it is that comes, it's okay. So I said, I guess I'm not going to paint this morning. And so I didn't paint that morning. But I did go put the first coat on Wednesday and then the next coat the next day. And it was okay. You know why? Because God smoothed the way for the other things that I had to do that Thursday. I still got it all done. Because that's part of trusting Him. That's part of being a flexible Christian. The third and final thing that I think is essential if you want to be an AOG Christian, an awareness of God Christian, is number three, be an in the Word Christian. Now, I'm going to use the word battery. You ever heard of the word battery? Battery means, comes from the middle French word meaning bombardment or assault. So I'm not talking about just having a devotional time. I'm talking about using the Bible on yourself all the time. You know, grasping a verse that will help you through a hard time. The Bible says in Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So I'm talking about making the Word of God real to you. Having, you know those verses? I wrote them down. I'm going to put them up some different places, and I'm going to use them on myself to remind me to be careful. Do I want a jewel of gold and a swine? Do I want to look like that? No. So I got to be careful about my words. If you want your life changed, you take the Word of God and you make it different in you. I think that's why I wrote these two books, because these are all full of verses that I used to try to help me overcome feelings that I had. I got illustrations here. 1 John 5:13-15. These things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Do you know when I claimed this verse? In 1982, when I wanted my two brothers to be saved. I felt it was my responsibility to make sure those two alcoholics got saved. Do you know what? They did get saved. One of them's in heaven today because I claimed this verse. Is it ever the will of God for anybody to perish? No. So if you have somebody in your life that's unsaved, how many of you have an unsaved loved one? Wow. That's because you're a bunch of first-generation Christians, right? Claim these verses. Say them every day and pray over them and say, God, help this person. My brother, Scott, just came into the pastor's office. And Pastor Don called me. I was working in Hiles Anderson's office. He called me on the phone and said, I got somebody in here who wants to talk to you, Red. I said, who is it, Pastor Don? And it was my brother, Scott. He had come in the office to get saved because I'd been praying for him all that time. Isn't that wonderful? You can see these things happen for yourself. Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. I claimed this verse in 2004 when we experienced a very bad wreck in our truck and trailer. Another verse that I have is 2 Thessalonians 3:2. This is one of those verses that I keep in my battery of verses to try to help me be good when I'm out and about with people. You know, people aggravate me. I have a low tolerance of people. You know, they just aggravate me. This is 2 Thessalonians 3:2. Write this verse down if you have a low tolerance of other people. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. Now, let me tell you the illustration of when I first started using this verse on myself. I was in a Western store. And I had tried on a pair of boots. I have a left foot that the top of my foot's too tall. And so boots, sometimes I have to wear them around. So I had put on this pair of boots and I was walking around in the store. I didn't go outside the store on the gravel parking lot. I was walking around in the store. This little old lady who thought she owned the store came up to me and she said, I was overlooking at shirts or something. And she said, what are you doing over here? I said, looking at shirts? You know, what are you going to say to somebody when they come up to you to attack you? Now, my old flesh, I know what I could have said to her. Anybody with me right here, right now? You understand my thinking? Especially now that you know my background. Boy, I could have. So I said, looking at shirts? And she said, those boots belong here. And I said, well, I was trying them on and I wanted to walk around to make sure they fit right. She said, you can only walk over where the boots are. Now, it starts in my toes and works its way up. But that morning, it's awful when God does things to me. That morning, I had read this verse, 2 Thessalonians 3, and for all men have not faith. Now, that little woman, she certainly didn't have any faith, or she wouldn't have treated me like that, right? So, you know what I did? I said, okay, and I just walked over there, took the boots off. I didn't buy them. I was not going to buy those boots, no matter what. No, I'm kidding. I didn't. They didn't feel right. But anyway, I did put them back. But isn't that funny? When the Word of God is a part of you, that's what I mean, a battery of the Bible, having verses that you use on yourself to help you be nice. You know, when I want to get sassy with Kevin, I don't know, ever since the kids have moved out of the house, it seems easier to be sassy. Anybody, do I have a word of testimony here? Anybody relates to that? Do I hear some amens? It's just so fun to give him a hard time, you know, especially when he gives me a hard time. So, you know what verse that comes into mind? When Sarah called him Lord, I thought, I got to call him Lord. I got to listen to this man. I got to be nice to this man. Yeah. That verse, it comes to me all the time. Another verse that I did, Psalm 28:7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. Think about the Word of God. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and my song, I will praise him. Get the words to these verses. How could I be walking around solemn and sad and just complaining and feeling sorry for myself? No, because the Lord is my strength. This has been my verse in the last year. I'm not going to explain all the reasons why, but just let me tell you, I have needed strength. But I couldn't, my situation in life couldn't change. It had, what happened was part of God's will for my life. And I just had to say, I need strength to make it through this. He likes it when we need him, doesn't he? He loves it. And this is what I'm talking about, having this awareness of God. God's with you all the time. And if you will do these three things every day, find you a verse to take with you all day long and use it on yourself to help your attitude and your spirit. And then be a flexible Christian. Stop fussing and complaining about everything that's going wrong and just go with it and ask God to help you to fix it whatever way he wants to fix it. Don't tell him to take it away. Tell him to give you strength to be able to endure. Give him strength to be able to have peace while you're in that storm, whatever it is. And then, of course, the very first one, be a one day at a time Christian. Ladies, can I tell you this? We have got to change our spirit. You know, one of the things people say about me, oh, Loretta, I like your spirit. You know, it's on purpose. The spirit that I have is on purpose. It's because of what God is in my life, not because of who I am. Certainly, you can see by the things that I've gone through in my life, I should be solemn. I should be mean as the devil. But I can't, because God is real to me. And that's what I want for all of you. All day long today, As I drove to pick up JoJo, I prayed all the way there to Sacramento. Lord, please help the women to know how much they need an awareness of God. Let's realize who God is and how He's with us all the time, how much He can help us. Remind yourself, if you have to put that string on your finger, remind yourself, God is with me. I've got to ask Him to help me. When I have a wrong spirit or when I have the wrong attitude, help me to see it. Grab these verses, not just have your devotions, but grab them and take them with you all day long to remind you to act right and do right. Let's don't use excuses for our bad behavior. Let's have an awareness of God that'll astound everybody around us. You'll have a new spirit when you have God with you all the time, when you know He's touched you. But I bet Joshua, when that angel said to him, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. I bet he had new courage, new strength. I can do this. I can forbear anything. I searched for a long, long time, ladies. I found Jesus, and that gave me my salvation. That gave me my ticket to heaven. Oh, I'm so glad it did. But the next step, of course, was becoming aware of my God, my Heavenly Father, all the time. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for these ladies and the chance I got to share this truth with them. Lord, if I could just go down to each one of them and teach them, actually show them how to make their God real to them, oh, I would do it. This is the only answer for some of these people. I've talked a little bit about some of the abuse that I suffered, but Lord, there's more severe abuse represented in this room.